I don't understand. Sister Dell did a great job on Wednesday night, but I don't understand why she tried to get into my business, but she did, and preaching something about the armor and knowing I was in a series on the afternoons with the armor, and she just did it anyway, and talked about the helmet, I believe. Well, I got to back up and get the rest of it for you, a part of it. And we're going to read this scripture today, and talk about the breastplate of righteousness this morning, and we'll have something else this afternoon. Might even carry that on a little further. I had something else that I had planned on bringing to you this morning, but I feel like it would be better to save that for another day. So I'll just take my afternoon notes and bring them this morning and then come up with something else for the afternoon. I appreciate you being here today, and I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord. Whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you practice it or not, God puts a premium on faithfulness. Not just faithfulness to church, but faithfulness to church is a part of it, your faithfulness to the Lord. A lot of people don't like to hear that anymore because they like to pick and choose when they go, where they go, and whether they go. They just kind of want to do their own thing, and that's kind of what we might have been dealing with this morning about the idols, but I'm not going to do that, making idols out of different things. So we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness today. I'd like to start by reading the chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, just to give you a whole overall picture of the armor of God. I believe the armor is very, very important for us. If we're going to live a victorious Christian life, an overcoming Christian life, we need the armor of God, because we are in a spiritual conflict, and that conflict is daily. It may not be as intense some days as it is other days, but we're in a spiritual conflict. And you may be cruising right now. You may not have been bruised by Satan or tempted by him or had any problems in your life recently. But there are those here today that are battling for their very spiritual lives, whether you believe it or not, whether you can see it or not. They are battling for their spiritual lives. People in this small group today are battling ferociously for their spiritual lives, and they need the armor of God, and you do too. And I want you to know as we read this today that your victory has been secured by Jesus Christ himself through his death on the cross. We're not in this by ourselves. We are in this with the Lord. He is on our side. He is just as much on our side as he was with Noah when he built the ark. He is as much on our side as he was with David when he slew Goliath, or even when he was running from Saul and having to hide in the caves to preserve his own life. He's just as much involved in our lives and cares about us as Paul when he was being persecuted for Christ's sake and being stoned and run out of different cities. He's just as much on our side, and we need the armor just as much as he did when he wrote about it. Paul knew about the armor of God, and so we need it today. Every generation has needed the armor of God. There's never been a place to lay it off, to lay down your weapons, to take off the armor and rest. You have to constantly be on guard, and we fail to do that sometime. And when you lay off your armor and you're not on guard, Satan will sneak in. A man named Ewald Plass said this in a book called What Luther Says: the devil takes no holiday. He never rests. If beaten, he rises again. If he cannot enter in front, he steals in the rear. If he cannot enter at the rear, he breaks through the roof or tunnels under the threshold. He labors to get until he gets in. He uses great cunning and many a plan. When one fails, he has another at hand and continues his attempt until he wins. And I'm going to tell you today, church, he's going to have to fight hard to beat you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world today. All the victory and all the weapons that we need to overcome Satan are right at our disposal, and his power, Jesus Christ's power, works within you and I today, and we are overcome. overcomers in the name of Jesus. And I want you to understand that today. Although Satan works hard and he fights hard and he's a cutting adversary, he is not greater than he that's in us, and he can never overcome the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. He can't do it. So anyway, let's read our scripture today. Chapter 6, Ephesians, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Anyway, so we need a right fit today. We need the breastplate of righteousness on us, and it needs to fit correctly. Verse 14 says to put on, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And how many of you like to wear clothes that don't fit? Some of you must, because you wear them awful tight sometime. But it's raining outside. It'd be nice if it rained in here. I don't mean that rain. I mean spiritual rain. But sometimes, you know, we put on clothes that don't quite fit. And thank the Lord, I've lost a little weight the last few months, and so I've got some jeans that don't fit me quite right. Fact is, I can button them up, and if I want to, I can slip them off without unbuttoning them. And so that's a good feeling, except you don't want something to happen out in public. And one time we had a gentleman attending our church, and he had lost a tremendous amount of weight because of sickness. And one Sunday evening he was leaving church here, and he turned around the corner right there, and because he didn't have it on his suspenders or didn't have his belt cinched up correctly, he didn't even have a belt on, his pants dropped to his ankles. So it's dangerous not to it happened. And it's dangerous not to have clothes that fit right. It's dangerous not to have the armor of God correctly on you. It needs to fit you correctly. And it's not, we went to Virginia this year, and we went to Jamestown, the recreation of Jamestown. And while we were there, they had some of the old armor there that they used to wear, the old metal helmets and the metal armor breastplate that they had there. And so we, you know, Braden's, you know, he was our model that day, and we put it on him. And so we put it on him, and all, we took pictures, and we thought that was really cool. And one of the gentlemen that works there comes over and goes, you know, you got that on backwards, don't you? No, we didn't. We're ignorant. You know, it's our first time here, sir. I didn't live back then. I know I look old enough to live there. I didn't live back then. I don't know. So he turned it. We took it back off, put it on, because the front had a little V kind of in it, so that when arrows or bullets came, it would deflect it off. But the back was more indented the other direction, and it wouldn't have deflected them. He said, you turn it the other way, and then arrows or something hits it, it deflects it away. Okay, we learned something today. Well, that's kind of a good thing about this. You can't put the breastplate of righteousness on your back. You can't put it on the wrong direction. You got to put it on the way that it will fit correctly, so that it might deflect the arrows, the darts of the enemy. Okay, so you put it on right, the breastplate of righteousness. And so righteousness, however, is not a good fit for a lot of people. And a lot of people in the church don't like righteousness. They don't want to live right for God. They don't want to live right. They want to kind of do what they want to do when they want to do it. But we need righteousness that fits. You and I need righteousness. You see, we are in a spiritual battle, and we're fighting against the world. We're fighting against flesh. How many fight against flesh? Anybody here fight against flesh? The Bible teaches us that the problems in our life are not anybody else. It's usually the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of eyes. That's our main problems in our life. It's not your brother, it's not your sister, it's not your bad marriage. It's the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Those three things is what brings most people down. It's because we get involved in that. So we need the breastplate of righteousness. We need to live right before God because we are involved in a fight, and we need to put on the armor that God has provided for us. Excuse me for just a minute. About to sneeze. Y'all want to come up into the sneeze zone, Todd? I didn't think so. Okay, it's going away. But you know how sneezes that go away are, don't you? A lot of them creep back on you when you least expect it and happen. So I can. It's gone now for the moment. So we're in this thing. The second piece of armor that Paul mentioned here to the church at Ephesus was the breastplate of righteousness. So we are to be clothed with righteousness that will help us live a righteous life. That's the whole point of this. We need to live a righteous life, and that will help us deal with our past as well as our future. So we have three kinds of righteousness that we might talk about today, one of which is practical righteousness, and then we're going to talk about the others also just briefly. And this practical righteousness comes from being armed with the breastplate of righteousness, a practical righteousness that we can put in practice in our lives as we live for God. Let's talk about the breastplate for just a moment. No Roman soldier would go into battle without his armor on, his breastplate, a tough, sleeveless piece of armor that covered his torso from about his neck down. And it would cover him up. It's often made of leather or heavy linen, into which were sewn overlapping pieces of bone or animal hooves or horns or sometimes metal. And they would make that up so that it would deflect the enemy's arrows, and it would deflect oftentimes the spears, and it would deflect the swords as they were in battle. It would help deflect them and prevent them from being injured as quickly or as severely if they were injured in arm, because they were in hand-to-hand combat, guys. This wasn't a set your coordinates from some far place like Brother Chris. He's over in a foreign land, and he's involved in armor or whatever they call it, and so he can step back here 5 miles away. They get the coordinates, and then they set that in the computer, and they shoot. And they have to wait for a report where they even hit what they shot. But these guys, they knew whether they hit or not. They knew whether they had hit a vital organ or not. They knew whether they had killed the guy or not. It wasn't some long, you know, they wasn't bombing them from up in the air. I mean, it was hand-to-hand combat. And you and I, whether you believe it or not, as Christians, are in hand-to-hand combat with the devil. It's hands-on. All hands on deck, if you would. You got to be involved in what's going on here. But this armor that was the purpose was very obvious, and that was to protect the heart, the lungs, and all your other vital organs. And so because righteousness or holiness is a distinctive characteristic of God Himself, it's not hard to understand why a Christian needs a chief protection against Satan and his all of his little helpers. We need protection against them, so we need our armor of holiness on, our armor of righteousness on. As believers, we are to live faithfully in obedience to and communion with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not living in faithfully in communion and in relationship with Christ, you're missing the boat, and your armor is not on. You may have a sword in your hand. You may have a helmet of salvation on, but you don't have a breastplate of righteousness on, and it might be that the enemy can get in there, and he might deal you a fatal blow spiritually if you don't get the breastplate, if you don't start living righteous, living holy. We don't like to hear that in the church anymore. We don't want to. I don't have to live any certain way. I've been saved by grace. Oh, yes, you have. And we'll probably deal with that in just a little while. And so holiness is a distinctive characteristic of God. We've been saved by grace through faith by Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on Calvary. And so if he shed that blood because he loved us, he shed that so that we could put on the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And so he expects us to put on the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. He expects you and I to do our best to live in holiness. I don't like that. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I want to look and act and do, say what I want to say when I want to say. It doesn't work that way. Well, it does in a sense, because you really get in tune with God. Your perspective changes. Your ideas change. So we are to do this. And so lack of holiness leaves us vulnerable to the enemy's attack. It does that every time. And he wants to attack your soul. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. He does it well. He has been successful for thousands of years. He has deceived millions of people. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be one of those blood-bought, mercy-sought, born-again Christians that's on my way to heaven. Amen? Don't you? Oh, no, I like the way I am. That's the way you're looking and acting right. Somebody say amen, man. Come on. My goodness. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. And so the breastplate of righteousness, kind of way I see it, is it protects and guards our hearts. It guards our heart. And our heart needs to be guarded very, very carefully. Proverbs 4:23, and I don't think I gave this one to you, Brother Robbie, but it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. You need to guard your heart. So we are in righteousness. We are in positional righteousness with God. When we got saved, we become righteous in the eyes of God because of the righteousness of Christ. I am now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the Word of God teaches me. So I am in Him today. But man's one of man's biggest problems, or maybe his biggest problem, is this. We in Isaiah 64:6 says it like this, but we are all as unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So all of us in and of ourselves are like, we are like filthy rags. Well, that's encouraging. Preacher just told me I'm a filthy rag. No, I say your righteousness in and of yourself is as filthy rags. And it will fade away. The Word of God says like a leaf, it will fade. And your iniquities will drag you, take you away from the Lord. It'll take you away from Him. Romans 3:10 says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You are not righteous in and of yourself. You cannot do enough good deeds. You can't volunteer for enough programs. You can't pick up enough trash on the side of the road. You can't buy, there's nothing you can do to purchase your righteousness. It was purchased at Calvary by Jesus Christ, and your righteousness in and of itself, although you may be a good citizen, you may vote every time there's an election, you might never steal, you might never get drunk, you may never even drink and smoke or do anything that we might say to is kind of out there. If it's in and of yourself, you're unrighteous. You're unrighteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Romans 3:23 goes on and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one. Our righteousness is, there's none righteous, and we've all sinned, and our righteousness is like filthy rags. We can't do it in and of ourselves. So what did God do? What did God do to position us as a righteous person? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I already quoted that to you. Because Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins at the cross and satisfied God's need for judgment and justice, we are now made righteous when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. So we are righteous in Him. Titus 3:5 says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. So we've been renewed in our spirit. This righteous, unrighteous man has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus and the renewing of our spirit, of our soul, by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost came in and made us better than new. I like that. I'm excited about that Jesus cleansed me. He washed me. He made me better than new. He clothed me in His righteousness. I'm glad that when I was sick and a sinner, I was sick, I was undone, that Jesus Christ chose to save me, that God loved me enough to save me and clothe me in His righteousness. Does that make me perfect? No, it doesn't. But when God sees me, He sees perfection. He sees my frail flesh. He sees my tendencies. He knows my weaknesses, but He sees me as saved when, as long as I keep the breastplate of righteousness on, as long as I'm trying my and see doing my very best to serve Him, He sees me as righteous, and He sees that, and so that helps me deflect the enemy's advances. And He's going to keep advancing. Don't get me wrong. And he sometimes He knows He can't beat you by a frontal assault, so He'll sneak up behind you and whisper something in your ear. He'll try deceit. He'll be subtle about it. Because oftentimes when a Christian, especially one that's been around for any length of time, you've seen victory after victory, and you've seen how God's brought you through many, many things, and He can't come at you head on because He knows you're already ready for Him. You got the breastplate of righteousness on, and you recognize Him when He comes, so He uses deceit. He'll come after you. He'll do whatever He can to get you. You see, we weren't redeemed with corruptible things, but incorruptible. It wasn't silver or gold that saved us. It was a tradition of my father I got saved. It wasn't that. I was saved by the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb. The lamb's blood without blemish and spot. That's how I was saved. I'm glad for that today. I'm very glad for that. I've been justified by His blood and saved from the wrath through Him. Devil can't have me. I don't give in to that. I'm going to keep the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because it positionally, I'm in Christ today because of the blood of Jesus. That's your position in Him today. And you need to understand that you've been justified by faith. Romans 5:1, you've been justified by faith. And because of that, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been justified by faith. That's why you have peace with God. Amen? We have the righteousness of Christ in us today. I'm glad for that, aren't you? No? Yes? Yes? No? Yeah? I'm indecisive. I'm glad for it myself. And every true Christian has been declared righteous by God. That's our positional righteousness. We've been declared righteous by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then there's practical righteousness. And that's where we're living. There's a difference between positional righteousness and practical righteousness. And practical righteousness is this, or maybe why we struggle a little bit with practical righousness. 1 John 1:8 says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Can I say, if you say you've never sinned since you begin a Christian, the truth's not in you. Does that make it more plain? If you say you haven't sinned since you become a Christian, you're a liar. Because all have sinned. We're in positional righteousness because of the blood of Jesus, but as a Christian, you have made mistakes and you have sinned. You've said something out of turn. You've done something you shouldn't have done. You've thought a thought you shouldn't have thought. You've had envy. You've had strife. You've said and done things, thought thoughts that you shouldn't have thought. You've sinned. You may not have practiced sin. You may not have put some of those thoughts into action, but yet you sinned. What did Jesus say? If a man looks at a woman in lust in his heart, he has committed adultery. Okay? So, everybody here, have you looked at something? Say, well, I'd like to have that. I wish they didn't have that. I wish that was mine. Well, that's envy. That's sin. Whatever it might be, you've sinned. So, you know, so I'm trying to get where you can understand where I'm at. Practical righteousness, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. Romans 7:19 says, for the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil that I would not, I do. That's the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, says, I'm struggling here. There's things I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing. There's things I shouldn't do, I am doing. But yet he was righteous. Yet he was in good standing. That's not giving you a license to do whatever you want to do and do, well, I'm in good standing. No, God expects you and I to live for him. That's why the breastplate of righteousness is very, very helpful. Look at Romans 13, verse 14, and this is, look what it says about the breastplate of righteousness. And it says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sort of like putting on this jacket. I'll take it off. I'm going to take it off. I'm going to walk over top of it, and I'm going to pick it up and put it back on. That jacket's not on right now. The Bible says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have my jacket on, but I'm going to put it on right quick. So I'm putting on Jesus right here. That jacket don't make Jesus. That jacket just makes me hot this morning. But I might take it back off. But anyway, I put that on. It's on. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what's that tell you and I? It tells me we got to put on Jesus, or we will make provision for the flesh. If we don't put it on every day, if we don't keep it on all the time, we will make provision for the flesh, and we'll give in to the lust of the flesh, and we'll do something we had not to do. I'm not saying you're going to do something really, really bad, but I'm going to tell you, you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to keep on the breastplate of right. You got to keep it on the breastplate of holiness. You got to walk upright in his sight. If you don't, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, no, I won't either. The Bible says you will. Now, who do I believe? Do I believe you, or do I believe what the Word says? I have to believe that if I don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, your pastor, Dennis Stone, will fulfill the lust of the flesh. I have to keep the armor of God, the armor of holiness on. I've got to set my mind on things above. I've got to put my affection on Jesus Christ daily, or I will give in. I will succumb to the lust of the flesh. The Word says I will put on holiness. I know it's ugly. I know it's difficult, but we got to do it. I want you to succeed. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to walk the streets of gold. I want you to rejoice evermore with Him one day. And we've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Galatians 2:19 through 21 gives us a little bit of how the procedure might go. He says, Paul says, for I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Did you get that? I crucify my flesh. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I say to myself, to my flesh, flesh, you're dead. I live unto Christ now. I'm thinking, I'm going to do my best to think like he thinks. I'm going to do my best to walk the way he walked, to do what he would do, to follow him. That bracelet, WWJD, means this. I will do what Jesus does. I won't think about it. It will become habit to me. It will become my second nature. I'm going to live like the Word of God tells me to live. I'm putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to crucify flesh. Then I'm going to live because Christ will live in me. And then the life that I live in the flesh, we're all in the flesh. I mean, any of you spirits here today? Some of you are spooky, but are you spirits? We're all in the flesh. He says, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the life that you live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. And he says, I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, I don't follow man's rules, I follow God's rules. Man will put a yoke of bondage on you. We're not going to do that around here. But God has a standard that we must follow. Standard of holiness. Amen. So we do that. So we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the breastplate of righteousness is holiness. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ which makes us holy. He gives us the strength we need to live for Him, to be overcomers, to be victorious, to win the fight. So Romans 6:17, I hope this will encourage you. It says this, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. You used to be in bondage. You used to be bound up by Satan. You used to serve Satan, but now you've been made free. You obeyed from the heart the doctrine of the gospel, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've turned from your wicked ways. You've trusted Christ for salvation. So now you are a servant of righteousness. You put on the breastplate. It's kind of like being filled with the Spirit. A little bit similar. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine where is in the excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? He says, be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. You put on the fruit of the Spirit. You put these things on. Why? You're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You've put on the righteousness of Christ. You've been clothed in righteousness, and because of that, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. Oh, I've had to practice some of that. I had to practice love in adversity. I had to show joy when I was down, and peace when I wanted to fight, and be long-suffering when somebody needed a boot in the rear, and, a kick in the seat of the pants, I should say. Had to be long-suffering, but practice love and peace. I remember a time it's been many, many years ago, and we went to a youth camp, and I don't despise youth camp. They're just not my favorite place to be. And I appreciate people go take our kids to youth camp. We have good kids here, though. But we went to a youth camp, and we was at a youth camp, and this person did something very despiteful towards the leadership of that camp. And it's bad. And a very, very unproductive attitude, and a very rebellious attitude towards leadership, and saying bad things about the persons above them. And, it got ugly. I mean, ugly fast, because accusations started flying. But the leadership, and I was proud of the leadership, and they stepped back. And, by the way, leadership was me and my wife. And instead of doing what we wanted to do, we stepped back in love. And we guarded peace, and we were very long-suffering with that person. What we wanted to do was take that person, bind their hands and feet, tie them to a cement block, and drop them in a pond out there. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I wanted to do it, man. It's like, come on, Lane, let's just go. There's a block right over here. I see some barbed wire. Let's just tie her up. Let's do it. Oh, you couldn't do that. And I didn't want to really do that, but I'm just saying in my mind, it's like, I'd just like to just at least let somebody, I can't do it, but let somebody clean her plow. Let's do something about this. Let's show her she can't act like this. But we couldn't do it. We had to garner up. We had to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our life and bring peace to the situation. And it got ugly. But we had to bring peace. When you're clothed in righteousness and you want to do what God says, what do? You do what the Word of God says, and you do it the best you can. You don't clean somebody's plow. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, I was in a situation. You say, Pastor, you're always in these situations. Well, it's because I'm such a nice guy. I had a man stop me on the side of the road. I won't tell you who it is, and he got mad about something. So I said, hey, man, how you doing? And he was mad. And I said, well, what are you doing? I don't want to go into what all that was. But anyway, so I'm bringing this back. I said, well, you don't need to do that. Yeah, I do too. And I said, no. You know, we done agreed, you know, on this deal. And just go ahead and take it back. No, I don't want nothing. Don't want to do nothing with it. And then the next thing he does, get out of your truck. I'm going to whoop you right here. I go, I ain't getting out of my truck. I'm almost 60. I was 64 at the time. I said, sir, you're almost 70. I ain't getting out of my truck. we ain't fighting. That's going to look bad to the neighbors drive down the road and see two old gray-headed men out there trying to fight one another, huffing and puffing. Okay, it's my turn. I ain't getting out of the truck and fight you. Yeah, you are. And then he told me I was unsaved and going to hell. I was greedy. I mean, he called me all kinds of names. I said, man, why don't I'm going home. Well, no, not till you fight me, you're not. Well, I'm not fighting you. I'm not getting out of my truck. I'm going home. No. I had to show self-restraint. I wanted to get an axe handle. Well, how would you feel? I had to show self-restraint because he told me I was going to hell and I need to prove I wasn't. He challenged my salvation. He challenged my integrity. He challenged everything about my morals, my relationship with God. He challenged it. It was hard not to get out of the truck and say, okay, let's solve this. But that wouldn't have solved it. All it would have proved that one of us could whip the other one. And he was so unsteady on his feet, I think I could have just pushed him over. But it was ridiculous. You don't do that. You let the fruit of the Spirit, because you're clothed in righteousness, because you have the breastplate of righteousness on, you let love prevail. You let peace. You do your best to be a peacemaker. It's difficult. Because you want to strike back. You want to at least say things you shouldn't say. I mean, you know, make some accusations back. We didn't do that. I didn't even do that. I said, man, you're wrong about this. I'm just going to go home. Let's just quit. No point in going further with this. Let's go home. So you let the fruit of the Spirit be there. And so you put this on. Jesus said this. There's a cost to this living. Jesus said this. He said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's our practical righteousness. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. We take up the cross and follow him every day. And that helps you crucify the flesh. Because flesh will get you in trouble. Flesh will bring division. Flesh will cause hardships, heartaches. Flesh will mess you up. But you've got to be led of the Spirit of God. And then there's our permanent righteousness. This is good right here. I passed it on. Tom got it. Jesus said this. In John 10, verse 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Aren't you glad for that today? If you'll just put on righteousness, you're secure in him. Put on holiness and live your best for God, and you're secure in him. Our practical righteousness, what we're living right now, will become permanent one day. It's not permanent right now. We're still in the flesh. One day it becomes permanent. Aren't you looking forward to that day? It says this in 1 John 3:1-2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We're still in the flesh. We haven't seen it yet. But we know that when he shall appear, he's going to step out. The trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of these days, all these struggles, all the difficulties you feel like you've had living for God will suddenly be worth it all. We'll soon be done with trouble and trials. One of these days on the other side, We're going to shake glad hands with the elders, tell our kindred good morning. We're going to sit down beside the river. We're going to sit down and rest a little while. I'm ready, aren't you? I'm ready for my permanent righteousness. Bible says this in Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, and I'll close with this today. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I am not a part of that group. I'm a part of that group that says he will be my father and I will be his son. One of these days I will be translated into his presence forever and forever and forever. And this life will have been worth living because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.